The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM, broadcasting across the top of the south on 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on freshfm.co.nz. Hi everybody, welcome back. I'm Imogen.
I'm Kinnery.
And today it's just the two of us and we're going to be chatting about international schools and what it was like for us, I guess, being educated in one and coming from one to the other in New Zealand education, I guess. So do you want to just explain?
Okay. So I went to two international schools. I went to one in Brunei, which was quite big. There was like over 1,000 people.
Well, that's
like
huge. 2,000.
It was really big.
Was it the only international school in the country?
I think so. Brunei's quite a small country.
Yeah.
I think it was the only international school for my age range.
Yeah.
It was like K through 12, and then there was like a university. And then, yeah. But that was in like a different province or something. And then I went to an international school in Sakhalin, which is a small island off the east coast of Russia. And that was really small. It was like 150 people, I think. And yeah, I went to the one in Brunei for about 3 years. Then I went to the one in Russia for also 3 years, 3.5. And then I came to New Zealand and I went to just a local primary school for a couple of years. And then now I'm at a local college.
Yeah.
So what was that?
What was I going to? Yeah. So I went to a local primary school in Nelson for 2 years. Yeah. And then we moved to Samoa. And in Samoa, I went to the only international school they had there. Sounds very different to yours because it was about 100 kids in the school.
Oh,
it
wow.
was very small. It was like one classroom for each year level. And sometimes there'd be 40 kids in a year level, and then sometimes there'd be like 14 kids to a year level,
oh
you
my
know?
Gosh.
And then I went there up until year 8, and then for year 9, we moved back to New Zealand, and I go to a local school currently. So I guess you didn't have the initial shock of going from one to the other because you were consistently at international schools. But for me, I did, and I remember I was really nervous to go to a school overseas because whenever people talk about overseas schools, they're always like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. You know, like the education is really strict and traditional and old. And for my international school, at least, it was quite true. Like, we have blackboards. In Samoa, there's corporal punishment. Because I went to an international school, we didn't have that. But a lot of that, like, respect and almost fear towards teachers, like, related into our classrooms as well, because that's just, like, so integrated into the culture, you know?
Mm, yeah.
So there was all of those things. And I remember so well my parents, when just before we left, my parents were really nervous for me going, especially like as a dyslexic and like neurodivergent person, like going into a very traditional like school setting. They were really nervous that it was gonna not be that good for me or like not that successful. But I remember we were sitting in the car and my dad turned to me and he was like, imagine if this is gonna be the greatest school in the whole world. Like, imagine if it's just gonna be incredible. And that's exactly what it is. It was, yeah. Like, that school shaped so much of who I am today. Like, those teachers are my favorite people in the world. Like, oh, I love some of those teachers. And just the whole vibe of that school was so positive. And being neurodivergent there, it was interesting because it was just, I was constantly having conversations that had never been had before. Like, my mom, she's an amazing advocate for me. And so it was like, these teachers don't know what dyslexia is, but my mom's going to come and she's going to teach them. And they're going to know now. And because I'm the first, they're going to be like, oh, well, you do you, you know? Like, oh, we so just want to help you. So my mom would come in and read my exams to me. And, you know, all of these things where they were like, yeah, we just want the best education possible. We're a privately owned school. We don't have any rules. We don't have any, like, things we need to follow. So let's just learn so we can help you. And especially, like, through the 5.5 years, 6 years that I was there, it was like I saw the change and I saw them picking up neurodivergency within the younger kids and then them getting the same help that my mom taught them to give me, you know? And it was just so much better than the primary school I went to before. Like, I felt so much more supported and it felt like a small enough environment that everyone loved each other. You know, it wasn't even like they just cared about their students. They knew their students' names. It was like pure love, you know?
Oh my gosh, I feel the exact same.
Yeah?
I feel like at international schools, the teachers care so much more and they really show it as well. Like,
yeah.
It's not that the teachers here, it's not that they don't care, but it's just, it's not the same because you're not living, like, at international schools, everyone is almost in the same boat. Like, we're all in a foreign country and just the teachers, they care so much more.
Yeah.
For you, what do you think was, like, the biggest difference that you saw in your school while you were there?
It was the teacher-student relationship because it was even, there's like two different sides to that. There was like the biggest differences I felt when I first moved there and then like the biggest differences I felt when I came back. And like when I first moved there, the biggest difference, maybe they were the same. It was just like the way that teachers taught and like acted around their students. Like, I feel like here there's this real strict line between teachers and students, friends and teachers, adults and kids. And in Samoa, it's the same, but it's not like I'm your elder, I punish you. It's just like it goes without saying because kids know that that's a level of respect you have to give elders. And so it's something that doesn't have to be constantly reminded. And so through that and through that underlying respect becomes this like most beautiful friendship where we're joking with our teachers, we're baking them birthday cakes and throwing them surprise parties and, you know, all of these things where it's like they love you, they understand you, they want what's best for you. Like, if you don't want to do this test, okay, I'm making a better one that works with your education because I know you. You know what I mean? It is just like these people know me so well. And I have bad teachers in Samoa too because how it worked there was we had some local teachers, but majority of the teachers were also international teachers. Did you have that as well?
Yeah. Most of the teachers in Sakhalin, all of the teachers were international, so they were all from like different countries.
Yeah.
But in Brunei, I think quite a few of them were local.
Yeah.
Or Malaysian, I think.
Yeah. So we had, like, every year there would be, they were only on 1 year contracts, and every year we would have teachers from mostly New Zealand and Australia who would come for just 1 year. They wouldn't be paid that much, but it was, like, the experience, you know?
Yeah.
And when it was like that, they were in the same community as you. Like, because we were an expatriate community, it was like they would come with their families and they would come and have dinner with us afterwards, you know, because it was like you're all tight in that little closed off space together.
Yeah.
And then the local teachers, it was like they were the ones who inspired the cultural part of respect. And so it was like, because all the kids had learned that from the local teachers, the teachers who were there from other countries were like, this is a break. Like, oh my God, this is actually fun. Like, I remember at the beginning, everyone would be like, oh, there's some new teachers. Like, they're going to be strict and dumb and think that we're all going to break the rules, you know? And then, like, as they'd be there for, like, 2 weeks, they'd be like, this is cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this actually works. This is, like, perfect. And, yeah.
And I think being at an international school, like, it just breeds so much more respect, like, because you're already in such a difficult situation. Like, there's no reason that you should come to school. And, like, you have no reason to come to school and make it worse for yourself because you're here, like, at an international school and everyone's from different places. Like, I feel like
they want it to be as simple as possible for you and, like, a happy place.
Yeah, and, like, they don't want you, no one wants to come to this school and just waste time.
Yeah.
Like, everything, even if it wasn't academic stuff, I feel like everything that I was doing at my schools it mattered so much. Like, it really, it just, like, it all worked towards the person that I am today.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm so grateful for that.
I think another thing to think about what you were saying, Kimmy, is, like, the camaraderie that you get from international schools, you know? It's, like, that thing of everyone's in the same boat, like you said. And it makes a space that is so different to any other, you know? It builds communities that are so different from any other because it's, like, we're all so different. Mm-hmm. We all come from, like, you come from such a different place to, I'm sure, like, everyone else in your class, right? No one's the same as you. No one is the same. And yet we're all not the same being the same together. Mm. You know what I mean?
And I think, like, especially, like, all the cultural differences because obviously everyone's from very different countries, like, different continents, like, very different customs in each family. I think it just, there was a much more open mind. Like, we were all so much more open to different ideas. Like, I know that when it came to celebrations for different cultures, like, in Russia, we celebrated, because it was like a Dutch-run school.
Okay.
So we'd celebrate all the Dutch traditions, but then we'd also have, like, separate, we'd also have days, like, for us to celebrate our own things, like, our own cultural holidays and everything. Like, it wasn't just, like,
that's
we didn't
so
follow.
Fun.
Yeah.
How many cultures, do you know how many cultures there were at your school?
I don't know. I think it was, I really don't know. It was a lot.
How many students?
Sakhalin was like 157, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, it's like similar to the one that I went to. I think there was like 40 cultures at our school.
Yeah, that sounds about right
as
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one in Brunei would have had a lot more as well.
Yeah, that would have had crazy amounts. Yeah. So what were most of the students that were going to the schools, why were they in Sakhalin in the beginning anyway?
In Sakhalin, it was because there's like, I'm not actually sure what's going on with it now, but there was an energy company, Sakhalin Energy. So my dad was working with them with, I actually don't remember the company he was working for, but they had like some contract to like do a project together. And I think almost all the other kids there, their parents also worked for that same company. So we were all just there. And it was like, we all knew that we were only going to be there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But like new people would come, new people would go. I think actually, I just remembered this. When I was in Sakhalin, there was a new boy in my class and he was in my class in Brunei as well. He came to my school in Sakhalin. And I
That's
was
so crazy.
I was like, oh my goodness, like I haven't seen you in years. And it was
That's crazy. That's what I mean by like internationals, they work together. They always like I bet you you've met someone that went to my school and some like I bet you have because that was always the case. Like for us it's similar to you. They had SPRIP, which is like this big Pacifica environmental firm, but the core of it was in Samoa. So all of the people from the Pacific who were working in this giant environment scheme all lived in Samoa to work on this. But it wasn't like just Pacifica people, like mostly it was Europeans and Kiwis and Australians, Americans, everyone. We also had Peace Corps, which was a big like American group, and then we had the UN, which were mostly Europeans, but also people from Africa, like all the continents, you know?
Mm.
And so I get what you mean. Majority was SPRIP, and it was like the SPRIP kids that went to the school, and we were all like, we were all in it together. We would all like go to school, come home from school, go to like the SPRIP Friday, like family dinners, you know what I mean?
I did the same
you
thing.
Did the same.
Every Friday night, we'd go down to, like, it was called, like, the Hub. It was, like, a little pub.
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly what we did.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's the exact same. And it was, like, all the kids would be there. Mm. We'd all hang out after school. Parents would drink. It was, like, a thing that they did.
But it's just, like, everyone's just friends, and you're just happy to see all these people.
Yeah.
And, like, you just get to hang out. And it's
just, like, a giant holiday.
Yeah.
But it's all the time. It's, I love it. I love that life. Like, there are definitely hardships,
definitely
some problems. I think the biggest, like if you asked me to do this episode 3 years ago, I would have just been talking about how much I hate going to an international school. Like, for me, like, if you go through my old diaries, it's just like, get me out of here. Because a lot of it, you touched on it, was like the transience of international schools. Like, how there are just constantly kids coming and going and coming and going. Yeah. I don't know how transient it was for you, but like, literally every 6 months I had a new friend group. Like, every 6 months I was having to change myself to have friends here, and then it was like, oh, and they're gone. And like, to have the coping mechanism as a child to constantly be losing friends,
yeah,
it's so hard, you know? Like, it just felt like you were constantly missing someone. And like, in my class, there was about maybe 10 of us that were core and were there. Well, I wasn't even there the whole time because it's from 3 to 13, the club. Yeah, and there was probably about 7 or 8 of them that were there the whole time. You know what I mean? And you would think that that 7 or 8 would just keep to themselves, not talk to anyone else. Like, they're sick of saying goodbye. But every time they were so welcoming. You know, every time we had a new kid, it was like we immediately fell in love with them and they were our favorite person, even though we knew they were only there for 5 months, you know? And, like, we just get really used to saying goodbye. And I think that strengthened me so much.
I think another thing is that I know that we were both quite young at these schools.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have, like, we didn't really have a lot of autonomy. Like,
Yeah.
We couldn't really do anything about it. Like, it was all relying on our parents. And I remember specifically, I had this one really good friend. She was probably my closest friend that I had. And then she just moved.
Yeah.
And you just have to pretend that never happened. And
you just gotta get over it. Like, I would tell you every year I had the greatest friend I've ever had in my life. And I love them all. And every time they move. And it was like, they've moved, you're sad, get over it, you're going to make a new friend now. You know what I mean? And it's
and you got hard. Such short notice as well. Like, it was always just like, oh, I'm moving to Australia next week.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And like, as a little kid, you're just like, that's my normal, you know? Yeah. I think something that was so interesting to me and I never understood was there comes a point when you get sick of it. And not to say that these kids and like I wasn't welcoming. Every time a new kid came in, we were so welcoming. But I would pick up on our coping mechanisms. And it wasn't until I left Samoa that I realized that we had them. But like, as soon as someone would leave, we'd hate them. It was just a thing that we did. It sounds crazy because we're like 7-year-olds. But like, people would come back on holiday sometimes and we would just be like, oh, I hate them. Like, they're so annoying. Like, as soon as we leave, we'd like pick out all of their flaws and be like, they were such bad friends. And I always used to think that was such a weird thing that we would do. And only once I left, I realized that it was probably us being like, if we still love them, we have to spend so much time mourning the loss of them, you know? And like, as little kids, we would just, we didn't know what to do with that feeling. So we would just always turn it into hatred. And it was like, maybe if it was one time, it would make sense. But every time someone left, we'd be like, actually, guys, like, mutually, we all agree that they sucked, you know?
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah. But I see what you're saying.
You know what we mean? Like, you have to find your ways of coping, because if not,
then you're just
gonna
be really sad about it. And
all the time.
You
can't, like, there's no break between someone leaving and coming. Like, every week we would have assemblies, and every week the people that were leaving that week would stand up. Did you have that?
Yeah, we had that too.
And it was like, bye, and then they're gone. And then every week it's a new person. And I used to remember sitting there and being like, when's it my turn? Like, when am I going to be like the one?
I actually remember my turn with that assembly.
Yeah.
I remember going up and it was like, oh, we're so sad to see you go. Here's a shirt and here's a mug.
Yeah.
And that was just it. And then I just left.
And it's like, you know, you're not special. You're the same as everyone else that's leaving.
Because it would have been like, they've done that for like hundreds of other kids.
Exactly. That was something I remember when I was leaving, was like, I'm leaving and oh my God, everyone's going to miss me. But then also like, no, they're not. You know what I mean? Like, I've got to accept that I'm actually no different to everyone else that has been through this system. It's a system and it's like a cycle.
Yeah.
And you've just got to like accept the ending of that cycle. Mm. Yeah.
What was it like for you coming back to New Zealand? Like, after having that experience?
Oh, that was crazy. That was insane. But I feel like it will be more interesting to hear yours because you never went to a normal school before you went to.
Yeah.
What was, like, that? For me, it was such a culture shock, and I'd already been to a primary school here and just forgotten about it. So what was it like for you just completely coming? Like, what about for your brother and for your parents? I guess they would have never had to deal with, like, public schools and, like, non-international schools. Was that crazy?
It was crazy. For me, I was just so shocked coming here because everyone behaves so differently.
Yeah.
Everyone behaves so differently at the school I was at. And I was in shock. So I was like, oh my goodness, like, no way, like, it just works like this.
Yeah.
And I can't pinpoint it. I honestly couldn't tell you, like, what was the actual difference. I just noticed there was, like, such a shift.
There's a different feeling.
Yeah. And, yeah, the culture shock, just, like, moving to a different country as well, like, on top of that, like, school culture shock, it was, like, oh my goodness. And
crazy.
Yeah. For my parents, I don't know too much about it, but for my dad, because the company that he moved here to work with, they were all kind of from the same position, so that wasn't too difficult. But for my mum, I think it was a bit hard for her because she didn't, like, have that automatic connection with all the other mums, and especially because she's Thai and literally all the other mums would have been from New Zealand or, like, Australia.
Yeah.
Especially in my school. I think, there was just, like, a bit of a loss of connection.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt them, like, step away from my school life a bit.
Yeah.
Did you feel that as well?
I know exactly what you mean when you say that. It was, like, when we first moved here, I was making friends, and my mom was like, I haven't met any of your friends' parents. Like, that's so weird. Because in Samoa, it was like, you made a friend, you invite them for dinner, then everyone's together with them, then you're going to the beach with their family. It's like, then you're immediately family friends. And my mom was like, I don't know any of your friends' parents. Like, that's weird, you know? Like, they took a step from my school life, definitely.
I came to that realization myself. It, like, I think it was in, like, year 7. I was like, wait, like, none of my friends' parents are actually, like, good friends with my parents.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because at international school, my parents were so involved in my life. Like, they were at they still come to, like, some events, but they were involved in every event. Like, they were participating. They were friends with all the parents. They knew what was going on.
Yeah, assemblies. My parents would come to assemblies. Mm. My parents would pick me up at the gate. They had all of the parents in the international school would, like, congregate at the front gate, all chat to each other on the picnic benches waiting for the kids. Like, that culture is completely shifted. And I think it's just that maybe it's a bigger community, but it's also, like, just not a community, you know?
Yeah. And another thing that really shocked me coming here was that a lot of people had never been to an international school like that. They had never moved countries.
Yeah.
Like, some people just lived here
their whole life.
And that was such a shock to me. And I could not wrap my head around it. And I was going home and I was like, where are we going to move next? Like, when are we moving next? And my dad was like, what do you mean?
That's such a good point. That is the best point. It's like the whole time I lived in Samoa, I had this feeling. My sister and I always talk about it. It was like this feeling of, like, something's going to happen. At some point, I'm going to leave. Like, there was always this foot half living fully there, half up about to leave, you know? And we didn't leave.
Exactly what you know? Mean.
And then we didn't leave for 6 months. 6 years, but once we left, it was like I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Like, there was always that feeling of anticipation. And I remember one day, my sister and I, we were driving in the car. This is maybe like a month after we moved. And I was sitting there and I was looking at the car and I went, I'm going to be here for like 5 years. Like, I am definitely going to drive in the same car to school in the same road every single day. Like, that just blew my mind. And then it was like this feeling of, and nothing's happening next, you know? Like, I'm not waiting for anything. I'm just stuck here. Like, I'm just gonna be here.
I think that was, like, one of the hardest things for me to adjust to moving here, just because it was such a difference.
It's final.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt, like, so trapped as well for, like, the first couple of years. And I think I still have this feeling of, like, I'm going somewhere next. Like, where am I going next?
Fight and flight, like, feeling, you know? You're just ready to move. And it's, like, you're not. You're just staying here.
And another thing is, like, it made it so much harder to make friends. Like, in primary school, all of my friends, they had been friends for their whole lives.
Yeah.
And I was just, I just got thrown in the pot, and I was like, what do I do now? Like, these people are just going to be here for the rest of my life. I still know those people.
Yeah.
Like, I still know some of these people that I was, that were in my class in year four when I first moved here.
Yeah.
And they're still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Yeah, and we're all still knowing each other, even though I remember I got in this fight with this, not like a fight, but like this girl, and I didn't like each other when I first moved here. I was like, I don't like her. My mom was like, you know, you're going to be in the same class as her for like 5 years. And I was like, oh my God.
That's the worst news that you can hear.
But it's like, it's true. I'm going to be in the same city as her, same country as her for maybe like 10 years. You know, like that's crazy, because it was just like, it didn't matter if you didn't like someone. You got to get over it, because they'll leave soon. You'll leave soon. Someone will leave soon, you know?
Yeah, someone will go somewhere.
It never felt final. It never felt like this is it. You know?
It's just like, we were always like, we were living in a state of limbo almost.
Yeah,
it's like,
always. You know? Like, when I first moved to Samoa, I was told I was going to stay there for 18 months. We didn't. And then the measles outbreak happened. So then we were stuck in New Zealand for a bit. We didn't have our visa, so we were living in New Zealand. Then we moved back to Samoa. Then we were in England for a bit. Then we moved back to Samoa.
You were in England?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, lots of things happened. But it was like, I felt like my life was always moving. I felt like we were never certain about living here, staying there. And then it was like, suddenly, that was it. Mm. And we're here. It's the weirdest thing. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to play a song. It's Bomb Bomb by Sister Nancy. So we'll be back soon. A team color 1-2. Ain't no skipping boogaloo. Nancy on them on the queue. Steady, just call it on. Tommy said 1, Tom and Nancy make a little plan. And me said 2, I tell nobody kick off your shoe. And me said 3, I tell you Nancy have a baby. And me said 4, me let nobody kick off my door. And me said 5, I tell you if you slip you will slide. And me said 6, I mean I'm Sister Nancy. And me said 7, but every man won't go out. Miss a eater, but I tell you not silly, you damn straight. I miss a niner, don't wanna this your lyrics, you are mine. I miss a tenor, go tell your little friends, your sister Nancy, come again. Me do not to borrow, and me do not to lend. Cause anything me borrow, me I give it back tomorrow. And anything me lend, me I forget it back again. Slang, 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 down dilly. Miss a me walking down the street, two man I meet. I'm walking down the street, two man I meet. One tall and brown, one black and ivory. Him ask when me name a just Sister Nancy. Him ask when me live, me tell him Uptown City. Him ask when me born, me tell him down a Jubilee. Him ask when me wear, me tell him Terry Ganzi. And also a lot of silver jewelry. Him ask when me do, me tell him I'm a MC. Him tell me say he live up in a Miami. The first thing me see was a letter to me. The second thing me see, I hope you're feeling angry. The third thing him say, send requests to me. The fourth thing him say, I hope you still love me. I'm my name Sister Nancy. Lord of God, I'm from the Jerry's family. The other time from the Supreme Posse. Lord of God, who won? German Nancy, make a little plan. I'm say 2, but I tell you operator that you want me say 3. I tell you Nancy have a B.A.B. I'm say 4. Don't come and only cough my door. I'm say 5. I tell you if you slip you will slide. I'm say 6. I mean I'm mama Nancy. I'm say 7. But every man won't go whatever. I'm say 8. German Nancy lay a damn straight. I'm say 9. Me tell you this your lyrics you are mine. I'm say 10. Go and tell a little friend that Sister Nancy come again, to Nancy come again. Me do not to borrow and me do not lend. Me do not to borrow and me do not lend. Me come again, ayo. Me say go tell your little friend me come again. I tell you in a difference, tell me come again. But I tell you beg you stop your running when me come again. Slang, long, 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 dilly, dilly. Go tell your friend, you know? Tell yourself, me tell your friend that I ain't Sister Nancy, send me back on again. 1, 2, operator, that are you. But a 3, 4, nobody only cough me down. And a 5 and a 6, I'll make you jump on Chris. And a 7 and a 8, Nancy, let Hi, guys. Welcome back. We just listened to 1-2 by Sister Nancy. We've been talking about international schools and I guess how those international schools built us and brought us up to the people that we were today. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we just had a little song to finish you off with. Thank you guys very much for listening.
Thank you.
Hope you have a good evening or day. Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.